set apart for you, because we choose to be holy. The strength of character and the ability to stay the course, Father, you will give to each and every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Revival fire, the refiner's fire that brings about the best in your children, even though they may be unpleasant at the time we are experiencing them. I pray, O Lord, that it will refine us and our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You are welcome to church once again. We still have the Holy Communion to partake in. So we'll try as much as possible to be quick in sharing the word. Can you just tone it down a bit? It's beginning to feed back. Please open your Bible with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We are going to be digging into the Word of God there. We just sang a song now, one, that we choose to be holy; two, that we are ready to do the will of God. And my prayer for us is that as we hear the Word of God, indeed our hearts will be conditioned to do His will in Jesus' name. Psalm 119. We are going to read from verse 4 to verse 6. It's quite short. And I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. I'll read from the Amplified Version because it brings out the meaning and convey the essence of that part that we are looking at. Psalm 119, verse 4 to 6. You have commanded us to keep your precepts, that we should observe them diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed and established to observe your statutes, that is, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. Then shall I not be put to shame by failing to inherit your promises, when I have respect to all your commandments. Praise the Lord. I know some people are envious of me now because I've got Amplified Version. Eh? Yours is not Amplified. Yours is not Amplified. You are missing out on this juicy part. Do you want me to read it again? I like it. For me, it's so, you know, it's so rich. It's so rich. If you like, go and get my own kind of Bible. I keep telling people, I don't know how somebody can read just one version and understand. Go to Word Bookshop. They've got only one copy of this left there. Okay, so you can buy this and people can order for it. It's a parallel Bible with King James Version and Amplified. It's really good, so that when you read one and you don't understand, you know, thou art, how set, and be it, and thou it, and eat it, and you know, and you don't understand, just go to the other side and read it. Praise God. I will read again. Say, your commandment, you commanded us to keep your precepts, that we should observe them diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed and established to observe your statutes, that is, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. Then shall I not be put to shame by failing to inherit your promises, when I have respect to all your commandments. Praise the Lord. I said it is very juicy because it gives us the full flesh, the full, you know, it expanded on the meaning that God wants us to catch from the passage we have just read. Because there are some words of truth there that will help us to be who God wants us to be. And we are going to take a quick look at them. One of the things that the psalmist makes us to understand is that the extent of your prosperity as a child of God. In other words, we might read the Bible from now till tomorrow. He said the extent of our prosperity depends on our knowledge of the Word of God and our ability to allow God to direct our lives by these words. Simple. Simple. In other words, the secret to your success is contained in the Word of God. And we have to open it up in order to get that secret. I told us about a program in which that allows children to be trained to memorize the Word of God and have it stored in them. And when I read this particular passage, one thing came home to me. That when you take in the Word of God and you allow the Word of God to guide you, the Word of God helps you to set boundary. Not only does the Word of God enlighten you to know your entitlements, it also helps you to set boundary around about yourself. Because every society that has no reference point, and that is where we are going now, is bound to eventually collapse. When there is no, you see, when there is no reference point to say this is, you know, this is where something stops, that society is bound to collapse. In fact, a life that has no reference point is going to be reckless, and eventually we also do what? We also collapse. A home that has no defining line will also become reckless, and eventually we'll do what? We collapse. If you see anyone in this world who chooses to be guided only by their own intellect and their reasoning, and they have not come to a point where they are able to set, you see, and that is why when you see professions, they don't just teach you what you need to learn your profession. They have ethics around it to guide you. Otherwise, you are going to flounder. That is the Word of God. That is what the Word of God is to us, is the anchor for our soul. By the grace of God, we are talking about a touch of miracle. Because for God to be able to do what He wants to do in our lives, we have to put the Word of God in the right perspective. In verse 4, the psalmist makes us to understand, he said, God has commanded us to keep His precepts, that we should observe them diligently. He didn't say we should just keep His precept, His words, His laws. He says there has to be a degree of diligence in the way we keep it. I mean, we know what the word diligence means. When you are diligent at something, it's not something that just happens to you. When I can, you know, when we're able, we're diligence. No, you are actually on the lookout for it. That's what it means to be diligent. You are actually preparing for it. You are making yourself available to do it. So it's not a happenstance in your life. And I like the Amplified Version, like I said, it talks about hearing the word. Hearing the word. Give yourself opportunity to hear the word of God. You don't just hear it, you receive it. Because we can hear and not receive it. There's a young girl, about 15, 16, that I see in my private practice. When, as soon as you start to talk about something she doesn't like, you will know. How do you know? She's hearing you. You will know she's not receiving it. How do you know? You don't see her. She starts to look away. She starts to get preoccupied. She starts to, you know, play with her fingers. She starts to do other things. She gets distracted. You just know that she's hearing you, but she's not receiving. We hear the word of God, we receive it. And the Bible didn't stop there. It says, we don't just receive it, we must love it. We must do what? Love the word of God. In other words, some words of God are going to be very challenging. Let me tell you something. That day that Nathan went to King David and told him the story, he said there was a rich man in the land. He had, you know, a big flock. He has this, he has that, you know. And there was a poor man in the land who had only one lamb. And when this rich man had a visitor, he did not take out of his flock. He decided that he was going to take the only lamb that this poor man has to slaughter for his visitor. Without thinking twice, what did David say? He said, such a man deserves to die. Praise the Lord. Immediately he said that, Prophet Nathan said to him, he said, and you are the man. Tell me, do you think David would have been happy to hear that? Very unpleasant news. Particularly after you have made pronouncement that such a man should die, because he has already judged himself. He had made pronouncement of himself until he realized he was the one. And then what happened? Prophet Nathan had to tell him what was going to happen to him. And he started praying. He repented. In other words, irrespective of the circumstance, we have to love the word of God above our circumstance. Not only loving it, we are also obeying the word. And the Bible says in verse 6, then you will not be put to shame. And what the Bible means by that is that you are not going to fall short of the promises of God for your life. Do you know what it is like when you tell people you are a Christian and you go out? I know we don't do it anymore. We don't make boast in the Lord anymore. How many of us make boast in the Lord? We don't make boast in the Lord anymore. What do I mean by making boast in the Lord? Somebody says, this is not going to happen. I say, look, I serve God. It's going to happen. This is what God has said. Oh, or somebody said, this is going to happen. Look, because I serve God, I know it's not going to happen. You are making your boast in the Lord. It's not your own power. But you say, I serve God. Have you heard of prayer? We prayed about it in our church. We know it's not going to happen. And you know what? 2-3 days later, that thing does not happen. And the guy said, I said it though. He actually said it's not going to happen. He says, so that you will not be put to shame. Oh, they are talking about the difficulties children are having growing up. And you say, because I'm of a godly seed. My children will have to fall in line with the word of God. And some people will say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. She doesn't know what she's talking about. How can she say this? Everyone, can't we see that the world is changing? Can't we see that the devil has taken over all the world? Hear her, hear him, hear what they are saying. Because they go to church, they think. And I'm telling you, when you hold on to that word of God, the Bible says, you know, because it's not just making the mouth. When you leave the word of God in your closet, the Bible says you will not be put to shame. When other people's children are going astray, your children will fall in line with the word of God. That's what verse 6 is telling us. I shared with us last week that the one who is going to be victorious in life must behave like Joseph when they are in prison. Praise the Lord. In other words, circumstance does not decide whether you are going to serve God or not. Eh? You don't allow circumstance to decide whether you are going to be faithful to God or not. So, irrespective of circumstance, you are staying faithful. You use your faithfulness to dictate circumstances rather than circumstances dictating your serving God. I also shared with the members of this church not long ago, and I also want you to hear. Because the Bible says he has good intention for us, and people think it's not true. He has good intention for us. Open to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 16 and 17. He had good intention even to the person you can say is the worst of sinners. He had good intentions, but our attitude will determine how well we are going to come through in our lives. Now, what do I mean by that? Because some people may tell you, look, the world has changed. Those miracles we used to see, we no longer see them. It is simply because we are not living in obedience to the word of God. When we do it as God wants us to do it, we are going to see the hand of God upon our lives. Acts chapter 1 verse 16 and 17, I've shared it before recently, but I want to read it from Amplified version. Even the man you can say is the worst, just to let you know that it is our attitude that change people's, that mold people's destinies. Verse 16 says, "Brethren," he said, this was Peter speaking to the other apostles, "it was necessary that the scripture be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit foretold by the lips of David about Judas, who acted as a guide to those who arrested Jesus." Verse 17, I want us to take note of it. He says, "For he was counted among us and received by divine allotment his portion in this ministry." Judas also, by divine allotment, had a portion in the ministry of Jesus. The attitude was what determined the outcome of his life. As you hear the word of God today, I want to tell you that events will come together that will shape your life in a way that you will not be able to go out of the word of God for your life in Jesus' name. Because I'm sure when Joseph was going to prison, it wasn't a pleasant experience. But let me tell you, if Joseph had stayed with his dad and enjoyed his coat of many colors, he would never have become the prime minister that he became. The dad would have continued to pamper him. Everything would have been looking okay. Until something pushed him out of that place. That's why, as children of God, you must never fear persecution. You must not be afraid of what? persecution. Because that persecution will drive you to the place of your destiny. If somebody believes that, say amen. Where are we going? I want us to open our Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. The message I'm trying to get across to us is that our attitude to the word of God, it's so vital, it's so important. We must not allow circumstance to determine how we react or relate to the things of God. We should use how we relate to the things of God to change our circumstance. Because God is still in the business of blessing people. And yet we come out and say, well, look, he no longer answers prayer. He does answer prayers. I will share a couple of testimonies with you very soon. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So it's not because God is still not in the business of doing miracles in people's lives. I know God has led me to make pronouncements and they come to pass. And it's still happening. Because God is still true. And he has not changed. But it says our attitude to the word of God determines whether things will come to pass or not. It doesn't revile us or see, or they don't revile us, they like us or dislike us. Your obedience to God is what is going to determine what is going to happen in your life and with your life. We are going somewhere. Open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 15. You know this story very well. The book of Luke, chapter 15. The story there is actually from verse 11 to 32. But as you know, we are not going to read all. It's the parable of the prodigal son. I want to take a look at one or two verses there. Go with me to verse 17. The Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. When he came to himself, suddenly he awoke. He wasn't physically sleeping. He was sleeping spiritually. And suddenly, he did what? He came to himself. Not only did he realize the state he was in, something happened. If you read on, he said, I will arise. Immediately he came to himself. He said, I'm going to arise. I'm going to have a change of attitude. My attitude is going to change now that I know. I will arise. I'm going to have a change of attitude now. He became conscious of where he was. He realized that there is plenty in his father's house and that he needed a change of attitude if he is going to be grafted back to his father's house again. Remember, though, that he took his portion the other time. Somehow he knew that there was still going to be a leftover in the father's house. He said, I will arise and go back. He had taken his portion, but he knew that there was going to be leftover in the father's house. Perhaps you are in the house this morning. You have asked God for mercy so many times, and you have blown it so many times. The Bible makes me to understand that the mercies of the Lord endureth forever. It has not finished in the storehouse. Today is the day to actually go back to him again and remain permanently there. As the prodigal son realized that there was still leftover in the house, so also somebody who has received blessings of the Lord. Those of us who used to make vows, I used to make vows, and I still make vows. And I will say to God, God, if you do this in my life, this is what I want to do. I still make vows. I say, Lord, if you will just answer this prayer, if you do this way, this is what I'm going to do. Maybe you are in such a circumstance and you have not paid your vow. Some people have prayed to the Lord and said, God, if you do this, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. And you no longer serve him. There's an opportunity to go back and start serving him. Because the blessings in the house is still there. He said, I will arise. And he arose. And he went back. Verse 20 of the same Luke chapter 15. He says, and he arose and came to his father. I want you to take note of something there. The Bible says, he said, but when he was yet a great way off, when he was what? A great way off. What happened? His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. For the father to have sighted him way off means the father was waiting for him. It means that the father was doing what? Was waiting. The father's mind has not been at rest. He was on the lookout that perhaps this boy will repent and come home. And so, once he saw that he was coming, what did the father do? He reached out. He reached out to him. The father didn't wait for him to come home. He actually ran and met him and fell on his neck and kissed him. God is doing the same thing to us today. Waiting. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 59 that we have read that his hands are not short. In other words, from where he is, he wants to reach out to us. If he sees that we are making our way back to him, he wants to reach out to us. And just touch us. And just hold us. And stabilize us. And proof us. And justify us. And relieve us. Even while we are yet way off, he wants our life to line up with his words, so that he can do what he wants to do in our lives. He said, why he was yet a way off? You know what? The only reason that will make the father to run to him is because he knew that there was a change of heart. What do I mean by this? Sometimes some of us have been hurt by people, not God. Maybe in the church, people we have respected, we've been hurt. It may even be due to our own misunderstanding. It may be due to their own misunderstanding. And you say, look, I will not pray. If that is what it means to be a Christian, I will not even pray again. I will share a testimony with you. And this testimony I want to share with you is something that happened just yesterday. There is a sister. This sister, we knew her about 5 years ago. None of you know this sister, so I can share the testimony, so you don't know who I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. We knew her about 5 years ago. Married to her husband. She's been trying to get pregnant for 5 years. She didn't get pregnant. There was a man of God who ran into some difficulties. The man of God came. He knew about the problem. They took the man of God in, provided him with shelter, fed him. I'm talking about true life story in Perth. While they were taking care of the man of God, he said, why don't we start a house fellowship in your house? So they started house fellowship, they started praying. This sister has done investigation after investigation. She was just getting set to go for her IVF. She just fell pregnant. And they had to abandon the whole program. By the grace of God, she should be giving birth this month or early next month. She came to realize it that because she allowed God to have his way in her house, her life changed for the better. But she now told her, she said, she no longer goes to church. When asked why, she said, her husband is an elder in the church. But her husband, you know, I will speak African English. Her husband carry women, praise the Lord. So she's been deflated, disappointed. I'm talking true life story, just yesterday. Because he does that, she has said, I'm not going to church anymore with him. Your husband was not the source of your miracle. Your husband was not the source of your blessing. How can he be a stumbling block to you serving God? I want to believe God for that sister that she will go back in Jesus' name. God is still stretching out his hand. We can touch him. I say we can touch him. We can touch him by our faith. Because he's ever waiting there to touch us. We can touch him by our faith. How do I know that? When you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 21 and 22, the story of the woman with the issue of blood, we know very well that there were many people in the crowd who were touching him. Praise the Lord. In fact, there were many people in the crowd who were shoving him and shaking him. But he recognized only one touch. The touch of faith. He recognized how many touches? Just one touch. The touch of faith. When that woman touched him, that touch was different. I want to believe God for you that you are going to touch God today in Jesus' name. Some of us may even say, but that was that woman. How many people are like that woman? You see, that woman, she's one of a kind. How many people can ever go and touch Jesus like she did that day, despite all the risks? But let me tell you something. What God does for a single individual, he can also do for multitudes. To prove this, open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Many of us have heard of the woman of the issue of blood touching Jesus and becoming Jesus, and they were made whole. And you too can touch him by your faith today, and that area of your life will change to fit into the program of God for your life in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 14. We are going to read verse 34 to 36. What does it say? It says, and when they had crossed over to the other side, they went ashore at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around into all the surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick. Read verse 36. What does it say? Can we read together? And beg him to let them merely touch the fringe. King James Version says the hem, the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it, as many as, they were made perfectly whole. Praise the Lord. That woman was not the only one who ever touched the garment of Jesus. Everyone who will come in faith is that touch of faith. This morning, what is your attitude to the word of God? Even as you are hearing it now, can you just take that leap to the next level and just hold on to God? It's a touch of miracle. And as many as touched him, they were made whole. It wasn't just that woman. The Lord can repeat it over and over and over and over again. And he will do it in your life in Jesus' name. Because there is the law of faith. And the law of faith is, be it unto you according to your faith. Somebody will take a leap this morning. I say somebody will take a leap this morning in Jesus' name. Recently, a man of God was sharing with us how he went to, he was invited. Can you imagine, as a man of God, you are invited to, you know, share with people like I'm sharing with us. And usually when people invite you to a place, they give offering, they give you things. So it happened to be the time that the church wanted to build. So they were supposed to give him honorarium to go. You know, the Bible says, he who communicates spiritual things to you, you communicate physical things, they should partake of your substances and so on. The Lord said to him, contribute $1 million to that building project. He said he was afraid. $1 million to that project? So he stood aside after he finished, and God said, go and say it now. Tell the people that I've said you should give $1 million. So he ran there and said, God said, I should give $1 million. And stopped there. He went and he went back to his seat. God said, no, tell them you are going to wire the money to their account now. Because he said he had proposed in his heart. He said he has proposed that we'll pay it like about 5 times. At least I will send 200, and then I will send 200, I will send 200 until I make it again. God said, go and tell them you are going to wire the money right now. I think I've shared the testimony with us. So the guy quickly went back and said, yes, God told me to come and tell you that I'm going to wire the money right now. Everybody started looking at him. So he got home, he wired the money, and the church changed their mind. They said they were not going to do that project, and they sent his money back to him. He told them, he said, whether you are going to build that building or not, God said I should give it to you. He knew you are going to. He said, please, don't send the money back to me because I'm so afraid. The guy flew his own plane from US to Perth. And I'm sure the plane that can go from the US to Perth must be a bit, praise the Lord. It's not likely to be the $600,000 plane. And it can carry up to 14 people. There's another man who knew how to touch God. I want to teach us one principle here this morning. There's a man who touched God by faith that I want to share with us. The man is called the centurion. We all know about the centurion, don't we? Praise the Lord. If you look at Luke chapter 7, verse 8 and 9, there's one principle I want to share with us there. When Jesus had made up his mind that he was going to the man's house to heal the servant, this is what happened. As Jesus was going, this man sent a servant to Jesus and said, don't bother. Listen to this. He said, for I am a man under authority. A centurion will have like 100 soldiers under him. He said, I'm a man under authority. When I say to a man, go, he goes. When I say to a man, come, he comes. He said, you speak the word. He said, you do what? Speak the word. Now I want to teach us one principle there. In verse 7, when the man was talking about his authority, the man was showing something called faith of knowledge. Faith of knowledge is you've done something before, it has worked for you, you know, you begin to trust the system. That's the faith of knowledge. Oh yeah, look, anybody who has this condition, when I do this for them, you know, I can even close my eyes and do it. That's the faith that comes with your knowledge. But every child of God who is going to move to the next level has to go beyond the faith of knowledge to knowledge of faith. What is knowledge of faith? The knowledge of faith is, even when I am not sure, I know that He's standing by my side. Even though I cannot see the outcome, I know that the outcome is going to be good. The example God gave me is this. Like when my son was 2 years old, if I put him on a high distance, if I ask him to jump, he would simply jump because he believed that I was going to catch him. If I say jump, he will jump. You say, that is here, jump down. He is going to jump down, or I'll catch him. That is the knowledge of faith. To know that your end is going to be better than your beginning. To know that it is going to be well with you. To know that that condition does not mark your end, that you are going to overcome. You see, when God talks about prosperity and blessings, God is not talking about where you are right now. God is telling you that wherever you may be right now, you can be sure of one thing, that your end is going to be better. Praise the Lord. The centurion went to the next level and he taught Jesus. And Jesus said, I've never found such a faith in Israel. The centurion was not a Jew. There were people who were posted to the land of Israel looking after the Roman soldiers. He was not a Jew. He said, I've never found such a faith in Israel. And he said, be it unto you. Because he said, you just speak the word. The Lord is promoting somebody this morning in their spiritual life. The Lord is blessing somebody this morning in Jesus' name. You can also touch him with your giving. I'm sure we love to talk about the widow's mite, don't we? Many of us, when we talk about the widow's mite, we talk in reference to how little she gave. But the Bible wants us to talk in reference to him, to her giving 100%. That's why when people are asked to give something, I'll give my widow's mite, I'll give my widow's mite, I'll give my widow's mite. You never give your... How many people give 100%? She gave her all. She gave her all. And when you do that, you touch God. Another woman, how come it's women who give their 100%? What about women, praise the Lord, that make them give their 100%? In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, there's the widow of Zarephath. You remember her? When the prophet of God, Elijah, came to her, saw her gathering sticks, and said, woman, can you get me water? That was the way the man of God started. He said, can you get me water? The woman ran inside to go and get water. And as she was going, he said, stop. She stopped. He said, and get me cake also. Apology to those of us who don't speak my dialect. You will understand what I will say it in a dialect and I'll try to interpret it. The Yoruba will say, Onibara Mbolebo. He say, stop. What that means is this. Somebody who is begging want to turn to a thief. It was water. Give me water. She was going to get the water, leaving her sticks. And then the man said, stop. Bake me a cake. The woman said, that's the last thing we've got. It's the last we've got in the house. Once I bake that, I was thinking I will bake it. Me and my son will eat. And this man had the audacity and went ahead. I said, okay, make for me first. And I'll eat. And then you and your child can eat. He said, but mark my word. He said, that flour will never run out. That oil will never dry up. And the woman went. It was like giving 100% because it was a meal meant for two. To be eaten and to say, God, we are coming home. And she did as the man of God said. And she never lacked again. somebody in this house will never lack again in Jesus' name. What about rich people also give? What about King Solomon? In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4. We love the wisdom of Solomon. The wisdom of Solomon did not come free of charge. It cost him something. Solomon was not born wise. Praise the Lord. He had supernatural wisdom. But his wisdom cost him something. By today's account, it's calculated that he slaughtered cow that was worth about $325,000 that he gave in sacrifice to the Lord. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. That was what King Solomon offered. $325,000. So let's say a cow is, say, about $300. Okay? So if you slaughter 1,000, how much does it come to? That's about $300,000 he sacrificed in one day. And God said, ask me anything. It must have been supernatural wisdom that made him to ask for wisdom. And every other thing came. God touched his life. And that changed it. He will touch your life today in Jesus' name. Lastly, you can touch God with your humility. I've told us that only people who are humble will be saved. Only people. I was saying it someday. One young man was shaking his head because he doesn't know. You say salvation hasn't got a price. It has a price. Humility is the price. I've told us, for those of us who are not here this morning, the word of God says, by grace are ye saved, not by work, lest any man should boast. Praise God. But the same word of God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If grace is the currency you need to go and buy, and humility is what buys grace, then only those who have grace will have salvation, because it's not by works. And only those who have humility will buy grace in order to purchase salvation. Praise the Lord. If I put it crudely that way. Your humility touches the heart of Jesus. And make Jesus do great things in your life. Remember, I told us this morning, I said, please stop defending yourself. Stop doing what? Defending yourself. Because after you have defended yourself, God has no business in defending you. I'm telling you, somebody may insult you or abuse you, and you don't say anything. God will abuse them for you. And when God starts to abuse them, you will be on your knees begging God. You remember Moses? When the people rebelled against Moses, what happened? And God chose to... Moses was the one pleading. You will plead for your enemies in Jesus' name. I say, you will be the one pleading for your enemies in Jesus' name. He said, my Lord said, sit thee on my right hand side until I make thy enemy thy footstool. There's promotion in humility. It took me a long time to learn this. I used to want to justify myself. Please, did you hear that? This is what I did. And I'm telling you, the people you are talking to, they already have their opinion. You are wasting your time. The day you will know they have their opinion is when they need to talk about it, you will know. You don't bother. Leave it to God if you are going to be like Jesus. The Bible said, as a lamb left before the slaughter, he said he opened not his mouth. He didn't complain. And yet God justified him. God will justify you in Jesus' name. And I want to let you know that as you touch him in humility and in obedience to his word, God will do something for you. In closing, let's open to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26. I used to think people in Australia don't like when you preach long. I found out that that is not true. When you preach good word of God, people want to listen. When I went for the conference, none of the speakers spoke for less than 1 hour. None of the speakers. T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Pastor Ashley, everyone that spoke, nobody spoke less than 1 hour. And people, even when you thought he was running late, say, do you want me to please don't stop, keep going. Praise the Lord. So when you preach, when you hear people say 15 minutes, it's because God is not saying something to them. When God is saying something to you and you are willing to receive, you remember those things, our attitude to the word of God, you'll be wanting more. When you'll be loving it, you will love the word of God in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26. This is what God will do in your life. This is what God will do in your life. When God, you see, after you have shown yourself faithful and God chooses to touch your life, things will begin to happen in a supernatural way. This story has to do when Saul was just made the king. Immediately he was made the king, some people arose against him. But something happened. The Bible said, it said, Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of valiant men whose hearts God has touched. Whose hearts God has touched. And I want to say to you this morning in closing, is that as you choose to live godly, it may look like you are losing friends. It may look like you are losing acquaintances. It may look like you are losing relevance. But I want to let you know that God will always send to you people whose heart he has touched. They will rise for your defense. They will provide what you need. Because God will not come down physically to do it. He will always touch people's hearts for that time in your life. He will touch people's heart for that moment in your life that you are going to need something. Praise the Lord. Can we just rise on our feet? God will always touch people's heart that will bring your good to you, so that you don't lose hope, so that you don't lose heart. He will always touch you for his miracle. He will touch you to change things differently. He will touch people for your sake that will do things in your life. Can we just close our eyes and just thank God for his word today and say, Father, we thank you for your word. We bless you. Thank you. I pray that your word will have a foothold in my life. I pray that your word will have a foothold in my life. That the words that I've heard today become a source of life and living for me, so that I will never depart from them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want to touch you by my faith. I want to touch you by my giving. I want to touch you by my humility. I want to touch you by my obedience. Father, touch me. I know you are waiting. All you want me to do is to start to run towards you. As you see me coming home, I know you are going to arise for my sake. I receive a touch of miracle. That area where you are struggling, why don't you ask God? As you make up your mind to live in obedience to him, see God touch that part of your life. Spend the next 1 minute and just talk to God about it. All that needs to happen is a change of attitude to the word of God. And God will show you that he still answers prayers. He answers prayers. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We bless you, Lord. we have received of you this morning. Lord, my life will never be the same again. I want to touch you for a touch of miracle, that you will change my life for good. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.